When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Forever! Dog.
The goody goody. Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody. Okay, let me set the scene. All right. It's the table read for Carol's second act last week. Who walks in? Another brown actress. Whenever I see, you know, just like people that look like you that are so fun and successful and funny, I get excited. And so I was excited to sit down in my backyard and chat with the very funny. You've seen her on Kevin from Work. You've seen her on Netflix's special. You're going to see her on Carol's second act. Put your ears together for Poonam Patel. Poonam Patel. Am I saying your name correctly?
Poonam Patel.
Poonam,
yeah.
Patel.
Well, it's like, my parents say Poonam, but I don't. As long as it's not like Putnam or Punam, a lot of people in Yiddish, Punam means face.
I know. It's a thing with my friend Danielle Schneiderman, she's Jewish, so she knows Yiddish.
Yeah.
She taught me the word Poonam,
yeah.
And now it's our inside. Like, Poonam means to be grateful.
Oh, I thought it just meant face.
It does mean face, but for my friend Danielle and I, we were just like, we were walking across the Williamsburg Bridge once, and we were talking about how hot our girlfriends were, and we were like, God,
what a day.
Yeah, we're just like, just feeling gratitude for that, and it's like, you know what it is, it's our Poonams.
Oh.
And then now Poonam to us represents like just like that extra, just like luck.
I like that.
Yeah, but it's
not
Poonam, it's Poonam.
It's Poonam.
Poonam.
Yeah. It means full moon or like the
beautiful.
Night of the full moon. So I feel like face, full moon,
yes.
Gratitude. It's all in the same family.
And what's your background?
I'm Indian.
Okay. And grew up in Florida.
Well, we did the 23andMe test, which I don't know why we did that because I'm like,
the whole family did it?
The whole family did it. Well, my mom, for some reason, was like, I'm not doing it. I'm like, what? Okay.
All right.
She's like, I don't want to spit something.
What's your mom's name?
Tilotama.
Tilotama.
But
yeah,
we call
like,
her Tilu
like
for short.
Tilu's moment of drama.
Yeah, Tilu's like, no. I don't know why. It was like, the holidays are difficult. And my brother-in-law
bought
it.
Holidays are so difficult.
They're so hard.
Do you guys do Christmas?
We do, like, exchange gifts. But
yeah.
Even now as adults, like, we don't. We just do it for, like, my sister's kids.
Yeah.
Like, my niece and nephew. We do it for them. And
yeah.
They put up a tree. And my dad is, like, obsessed with Christmas lights. And, like, not just putting up Christmas lights, but, like, putting up lights that are, like, a show.
Oh my God. He's
so
like the person on the block.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, we were always had like disco house. Like everyone
oh
had
God.
Like tasteful, just white.
Wait,
light.
What religion are they?
We grew up like Hindu, but
yeah.
It was more like culturally Hindu. Like,
yes.
It was never like enforced as like a religion. It was more just like, these are stories you can learn from.
Did you eat beef?
No, I did for a while. They weren't like, don't eat beef, but.
Cause I was, my dad is Muslim.
Yeah.
Married or grew up Muslim, but like more cultural. It was like the cultural aspect was that we never ate pork in the house. Still,
sorry.
Like my dad is like disgusted. Cowboys.
Sorry. Your dog
fully
is so
erect
cute,
on your
but
lap.
I had to move. And I was like, sir.
It's a guarantee on the Goody Goody podcast. If we record on the back deck, Cowboy's boner will be on your lap.
Oh, I didn't even know that's what it was. Well, all right. I thought it was a paw.
But yeah, the rule of like not eating the pig meat, like
yeah.
For him, it just like smells like bad. Like it just like
yeah.
Triggers.
It's weird. I didn't grow up eating beef, but it was never like forbidden. We just never had it in the house.
So that your parents are really chill.
Yeah. My mom's never had meat. My dad eats like everything. But he would only cook chicken, and once he cooked like goat or lamb, and I was like, no, it's gonna be a no for me, dog. Like, I was not into it.
That's gonna be a no for me.
It's gonna be a no for me. But then in college, I feel like is when I started like eating more beef, like cheeseburgers and all that fun hot dogs and all that stuff. And then I was like really hard into steak and everything.
Hard into steak.
And then, like 2 years ago. Hard into steak. But then 2 years ago, I stopped eating meat. Because actually, I went to.
And that's how you live forever, dog. I think that everyone's talking about veganism. Like Patty on set last week was like, I'm vegan. I watched a documentary. It's called Game Changer. I haven't seen it, but like.
Oh, I haven't either.
I think that veganism is maybe what we should do.
I know. It's hard, though, because it's not like necessarily healthier. You just.
But she used some experiment of like people's blood after they eat
like
meat.
Athletes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your tipping point? Like what tipped you?
Well, I would say like a couple years ago, I started just feeling like really turned off by meat. Like I couldn't cook it at home. Anytime I would smell it, I would just be like, bleh, like raw meat, especially. Yeah. So I stopped cooking at home like a long time ago. And then even when I would go out to eat, I would get it and I would feel kind of like, I don't know if I'm into it. And then I went to India for a month and didn't eat meat for a month. And, I don't know. I just saw like the cows roaming around there and I was like, listen, India has a lot of problems, but they are really nice to cows. Not all of them, but like the ones I saw, they were really kind to them. And
how was your month in India? Was that your first time? No.
No, but I had not been in like 10 years.
Okay.
So it was like incredible. It was so healing. It was just like...
Yeah, give me some of those...
Lessons!
Give me some of those Indian lessons.
It's amazing. Well, it's like chaos there, because there's so many fucking people everywhere.
Yes.
And there's not enough room for everyone.
Yes.
But like, God forbid we stop having kids in India. It's like, you know...
It's just people on people on people. It's like just, New York City everywhere?
Yeah, worse. It's like... so crowded. There's so many people. But when it's crowded here, I feel like people are like rude. And there, it's like they're just used to it.
Yeah.
So like even there's certain places we were driving. There's no lanes. You just like know where you're supposed to be.
It's like that in Vietnam too. Just like weaving traffic and just trusting flow.
But no one was like road raging. They were honking just to be like, hey, I'm over here. Hey, I'm turning.
I do that. Look, I think this is actually a really good lesson.
Yes.
I'll start honking in a more sort of like, hey, I'm over
gentle.
Here, bud. Yeah.
I wish there were two honks.
Yes.
Because like I just like tap the honk when it's like the light turned green and not immediately. I'll give someone like 10 seconds.
I wish there was a friendly
like
honk.
Like a friendly like, hey, hey. Hey, look
yes.
up.
Yeah, okay.
Or like, hey, I'm over here.
Let's record it simultaneously. And this is for free. If anyone in the auto industry is listening, honey, take this to your meeting.
Please.
This is a gift from us. Ready? This is the friendly honk. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Hey. That's it.
That's also I want to fuck.
Yeah.
Honk.
Hey. Like all of a sudden my personality is shy. Hi.
Can I steal you for a sec?
Oh my. Do you watch The Bachelor?
No.
Oh my God, I do.
Is that
it's
the
so
catchphrase?
Oh, my, well, no.
You
it's
watch
like,
it?
Yeah, it's trash.
What kind of feminist are you?
Bad one, I guess.
I did used to watch it.
It's very bad.
It's just too straight. Like, I bet if there was gay stuff happening on it, I'd maybe.
Yeah, it's too straight. It's too white. Everyone's
not that I
terrible.
Want a gay one. I don't think it's.
There is one on MTV where everyone's
Tila Tequila.
Bi, I think no, not Tila Tequila. Isn't she like 4'2"?
I think so.
She's very tiny.
I'm trying to reach for a story about her, but then I realized stop reaching.
Hi, friend.
Oh, so India veganism.
Yes. Your dog's trying to make out with me.
Dog, trying to get animal in your mouth.
You know what? It's been a while, so I'll take it.
Are you single?
I am single.
Are you ready to mingle?
I'm ready to mingle, but
strat?
Turns out...
Are you strat woman?
I'm straight. I'm a practicing straight. I am ready to mingle. Turns out, just because I'm ready doesn't mean others are.
Wait, do you have a crush?
No, I just... Dating in LA is
hard.
So
trash, I know.
It's like Wild Wild West out here, and people are
And there's just like
weird.
Cardboard boxes of men with like...
Yes.
Just like mogul women. Hot moguls. Fit
yes.
Ladies. Fully confident women with just like, hi, nice to meet you. cardboard box man.
Literally, it's impossible. And like, even when you think like, oh, this person feels normal, it's like, nature of dating is like you have to keep going on dates with them to like find out if they're like,
it's just like, how many licks does it take to get to the sociopathic diagnosis?
Epic fail.
Shut up.
You are one pathetic loser.
So do you, like, how do you approach dating?
Well, I joined Raya this year because everyone's like, you got to join Raya. And I was like, I don't like
that's things. That's the hot one, right? That's the boutique one. You got to be invited.
You have to be invited and then you have to like apply.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't like, it feels like, you know, something like Soho House. I just like don't like totally things that. Like that where it's like just trash and like,
yeah,
I don't like anything exclusive because I'm like, what is that?
Yeah, yeah.
Or like waiting
but at the
in
same
line
time,
for things.
You know that there's also just like a nice thing. Whenever it's the psychology of like, have you ever lived in New York?
No.
There's a place called La Esquina. And I mean, there's tons of places. There's Blind Barber here in Highland Park where the front of it is like a business. And then you go through and it's the back and you found the back. So there's like the bar hidden behind the barber shop. And I feel like there's something psychologically appealing about
being
feeling
in
exclusive.
On a secret
in
or something
secret.
Like
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Yeah.
That I can understand. But like when you're.
Ooh, we should create a fucking app based on that. That,
yes,
like an app that seems secret. Like yeah, it seems like an app that's like for
offer up.
Yeah, it seems like it's like offer up, but it's like offer up this pussy, bitch. If you know where to go,
yeah, you gotta like click the right category and offer up, and then all of a sudden, all these like emotionally available people show up.
Yes,
I'm actually
offer up
in
your emotions.
I'm so in. I am offering them up on like a gold platter.
Okay, so you feel like you're emotionally open and ready.
I'm emotionally available. I have my shit together. I'm fun
you're
to be
so
around.
You're so talented. You were just a guest on Carol's Second Act.
Heard
and
of
I'm
it.
Sure you'll be back. You played Dr.
Mehta.
Dr. Mehta.
Which on my dressing room, it said Dr. Mentha. And I was like, oh, I'm into it. That's fine. Oh
Dr. God. Menthol.
Dr. Menthol. But yeah, I joined Raya and it's like, you know, you can see what you're like in the matching part, you just see the people you're interested in. So I'm seeing, you know, my oppressor, straight white men. It's like awful that I'm attracted to the people that oppress me. But
are you exclusively attracted to white men?
No, I'm not.
Okay, good.
But I'm,
I mean, just in terms of whenever people are like so insistent that it's like, it's gotta be white. I'm like, but
that's
I don't
weird.
Know if you're digging deep.
Yeah.
I think
that's problematic, I would say.
Yes.
No, I'm attracted to mostly men and straight men, and they're most people on that app are white men.
Yeah,
and
but
I'm
probably like a real hot butch lady, you could.
I think I could. I haven't tried, but I feel like
that's
I could.
Not my agenda.
I mean, I always say it's like there's so many things I don't know about myself still.
Ooh, that's the real deep shit.
That I feel like I'm always open. But if I'm going on past evidence,
yes, it's going to be.
I would
yeah.
say I'm straight.
Yes.
So the evidence thus far.
I just did this panel for GLAAD and, you know, GLAAD, the gay one, not the saran wrap one.
Yes.
I was there
big fan
representing
of both.
Saran wrap.
big plastic head over there.
Yeah. I think more plastics, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a big proponent of if you've got a bag, wrap it up in saran wrap. I'm so sick of people phasing that out. So they were counting kind of like the representation in the media. And they're like, it's cool. They've been kind of tracking sort of how many gay and lesbian characters there have been. But they said that there is not enough representation of non-binary characters, which is interesting because what I said was like, well, the crazy thing is that's everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought at the GLAAD, you know, like at the UTA theater where the GLAAD, but it, I don't think it really resonated with people because I do feel like one of the secrets that you gain about life in coming out is realizing that no one is binary. And so that's why I like to just make people aware of the fact that you could kiss a girl. You will end up with a girl probably because all of life, like if you look at all the evidence of who you, but that it's not like, and it wouldn't be crazy for me to kiss a boy just because I
want to have an experience with a person.
Yes. Yeah.
And that person, like, cause I don't know, like 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 5 days from now, I could meet someone and like, you don't know how that person's going to influence your life and what they're going to bring out in you and how they're going to make you feel. And I mean,
it could like be Cowboy.
It could be. I mean, it is your dog right
it's
now.
It's currently Cowboy.
Yeah, he's inside of me right now.
I hope you don't mind.
It's
that
okay. That's why I wore weird? A button fly. She could just sneak in there.
He's inside of me.
I mean, might as well be. The way he's perched up on me, like I literally am a throne.
Just know that he will fart. It will feel hot. And then you're going to be less attracted to him.
Honestly. Ugh. We all been there. Oh my God, he's smiling.
Yeah, you don't know who you're going to meet, but yeah. All this to say, I love saran wrap and, and everyone's pretty non-bine. Pretty non-bine-bine. Our friend here, Kristen, runs this company, Tiny Bangs. Mm-hmm. And so her kids are here playing with Wolfie. And one of her kids just came out as gender non-binary. It's just interesting. It's like, I remember my first girlfriend when I came out was kind of like transphobic.
Mm-hmm.
And the psychology behind it was very sort of like, I don't know, like Hispanic people that vote for Trump or any immigrant that votes for Trump.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm in and we don't need to like create a bunch of noise about anything because I'm in here and, I'm blending.
Too.
And
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
Well, it is tough when you're taught to assimilate your entire life because you have to for safety.
Yeah.
And then as an adult, all of a sudden, what's making us different is being celebrated.
Yes.
And maybe even rewarded sometimes.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, so, but do I go really hard in on the other side now? Or that other side of me has already existed, but I hate that it feels like a side, you know, like my Indian side and my American side. Cause it's like, I am both.
Yeah. Talk to me about that. Like growing up in Florida.
Yeah. I grew up in a super, super small, very white town, went to a private school with a bunch of like super rich white kids.
What do your parents do?
My parents owned a convenience store. So they were working like 7 days a week.
What's the store called?
County Discount Beverage.
Bitch. All right.
Ooh, that's a spicy tip.
County Discount Beverage.
County Discount Beverage.
What town?
Vero Beach, Florida.
Vero Beach, Florida.
Shout out. They don't own any of them anymore, but they still exist. But they
mention
like,
the podcast.
Mention
get a
the
smile.
Podcast. Get free Twix bar.
but if you steal it.
Yeah. If you steal it, it's free. But yeah, they like moved to that town and started with one convenience store. Oh my God, I cannot keep this earbud.
Get the earbud in your ear.
I know. And now
I'm
afraid
face the consequences.
I didn't use Q-tips today and it's going to like have a bunch of my wax in it or something.
Honestly, I would love if it did.
Okay. DNA evidence that I was here in case something
happened. Yeah, sisterhood of the traveling earbud. I want some of your DNA.
But yeah, so they were working like all the time to afford this private school. And I was like going there with like, you know, like, you know, Anheuser-Busch, like his kids.
Anheuser-Busch?
Like Budweiser.
Oh, okay.
Like the company's Anheuser-Busch. So like the Bush kids
were there,
like B-U-S-C-H.
Yeah. How were they perceived?
I mean, everyone was so rich. It was almost like, what is this? But
whoa, how did they afford it?
They all were like, they all...
Your parent, no, not
oh,
the
how
Bush
my parent,
people.
I was like,
how were, many beers
I don't know
did they have to sail to get there?
I don't know how to explain the concept of wealth to you.
And so they collect the money and then they keep it all together in
yeah,
what?
Like,
some
they
kind
don't
of
give
treasure
it to anyone.
Chest?
They probably underpay their employees and then they just have it in their family for generations.
But then for your parents, they were...
So they just worked really hard, made investments, and they own their own business and they... Then they ended up like building plazas that their stores were in and then renting those plazas out.
Great.
So yeah, they made it work. It was insane. But like growing up there, I remember I was thinking about this the other day, like the things that I wanted so desperately now, like make me cringe. But like back then, all I wanted was to go to the Gardens Mall in Palm Beach, West Palm Beach, Florida.
Of course.
And go to the Abercrombie and Fitch.
Of course.
And buy something from there.
Duh. I don't know what that was.
That was my dreams shattered. Yeah, what a relief.
So like go to Abercrombie and just like pick up like
and pick up anything
but escort
or something that said it. And I remember like every time I'd go in there
or something
like,
that said Abercrombie
so everyone would know that I also had Abercrombie because really what I was wearing was we were hitting up the pennies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
The Burdines.
Yeah.
I don't think that department store exists anymore.
I grew up in Canada, so I don't know, but I know what you're saying. Like JCPenney. I had clothes from like Kmart or Zellers, and I got made fun of it for it. Because my parents weren't buying me. Like, for that version of what you're saying was Roots, which is a Canadian company.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Having, like, those, like, rich kid sweaters with the beavers on them.
And it's, like, just a sweater. But
it
said
is, but it. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And they were, like, so ugly, too. And all they were so problematic. But, like, you know, all the advertising is, like, hot white people, and you're just like, I wish I had a longer torso. And I was like,
you wanted a longer torso. I have a too long torso and too short legs.
No, I mean, hello, growing up, like, Tara Reid was like the sex symbol.
But that's long torso.
She has a long torso.
That's a callback to India.
Yeah, she has a long torso. It was like her, Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton. They all had like really long torsos.
Would you have traded your life to be one of them then?
Now?
And also, yeah, the first layer of the question is, would you have then?
No.
No, you always knew you were the shit.
I knew I was the shit. And then for a long time, I thought I was shit. And then now I know I'm the shit again.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
The title of your memoir, The Shit Cycle.
I hope it all fits on the cover.
It will. We'll make it fit. I own 30%.
Okay. That's fine. That's fair.
Okay. So the other side question is Tara Reid, Paris Hilton, or Lindsay Lohan, who you've got to trade lives and become one of them for a year. Who do you become?
Them currently?
Yeah.
Paris. Probably Paris. Yeah.
And then?
And then?
Lindsay or Tara?
Tara, because at least she's left alone a little bit.
Yeah. And then Lindsay, third Lindsay,
because I mean,
and then
ill.
Then the third episode of the question is, would you rather be would you rather be Lindsay Lohan or Kamala Harris? Think about your workload.
That's a tough one.
Both of them are getting criticized or followed or photographed. One of them is dancing in Mykonos, high out of their mind. The other one is like trying really hard but
to become
can
president.
Never win.
Yeah. Gosh, that's a tough one because they're both so rewarding. I would probably choose Kamala.
Okay, good.
And then if I lost, I'd become Lindsay.
Yeah, okay, great. You know what time it is. Time to get back into your story. So you're in Florida. You're in Florida and you feel you're around the way. People, different culture, and you're part of it, but you're also not a part of it.
Yeah.
How
I'm going
that?
To Dave Matthews Band concerts.
And you feel, you're like, do you feel a part of it or do you feel?
No, I mean, like, I had friends, and now when I like talk about it, my sister's always like, what are you talking about? You had so many friends. You were great. And I was like, yeah, but I was like trying so hard all the time. So, like, in the moment, I think I was just like trying so hard all the time. Like, I didn't have the emotional maturity to process like, oh, this isn't actually your identity because you're just like so focused on it that any little bit you can fit in, you're like, I'm in, you know?
Yeah.
But then it wasn't until I was like an actual adult that now I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to be that.
Yes.
But I did get an Abercrombie T-shirt.
Okay.
I found one on sale. Alert the authorities. But it was like and it just had like, you know, just on the left breast side like a tiny little thing that said like A and F.
Oh, great.
And I like wore it and I was like just sticking out my left breast so hard that day, making sure everyone saw A and F, like established 1991 or whatever year.
People are like, did she get one breast implant? Yeah. What's happening?
Oh God, I was the first person in my grade to get boobs.
Oh, how was that?
Awful.
Really?
We had uniforms and our blouses were like see-through and I would wear like an undershirt.
I mean, strange choice for this private school. Yeah. And then all the women wear
sheer white blouses.
Saran wrap tops.
They were
saran
cotton.
Wrap by Glad.
They were cotton, but you know, like a white cotton can be see-through.
Yeah.
But I had to wear undershirts for a long time because like my nipples are darker than, you know,
God.
All the white people's
don't
nipples.
Even
Don't
me tell you a story about my dark nipples shining through a white cotton shirt after this.
Okay, please
I mean, do.
Please
remind
do.
Me to. But so you figured it out on your own and didn't get told by your tennis instructor that you have to cover your brown, dark brown nipples.
My mom was just like, you have to wear an undershirt. And I was like, huh? And she's like, you have to wear an undershirt.
You got tig bitties.
Well, and then she was like, you can't wear the undershirt anymore. You have to wear a bra. because they were like full. I feel like I woke up with a C cup. Like I never had like small boobs.
When did you? You obviously had mustache like me, right?
Oh, still do. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I did electrolysis, but
it didn't work on mine.
Oh, you just have to go to the right person. I wasted so much time with the wrong person every week for 2 years. I went to the wrong person, and then 6 months, the right person got rid of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It worked on my sideburns. But it did but it not didn't. Work on my mustache.
I wonder.
And it didn't work on my armpits either.
I feel like electrolysis is the only legit way to get rid of.
Wait, is that different than laser?
Not laser.
Oh, okay. I did laser.
Because laser is tough for people with brown skin because laser is most effective with light skin and dark hair.
Oh,
so the laser gets a little bit confused. Mm. Do electrolysis. I mean, it's so painful, but it's worth it. And if you want to not deal with it anymore.
But am I going to walk around with like a spotted upper lip or something from it? Okay, you can't tell.
No.
Like I just imagine like burn marks all over my face.
No, burn marks, that's what laser is.
Oh, okay.
This is like, it'll be red because it'll be, when you, it's like, you know, it's like a needle going into your fucking upper lip constantly.
Yeah.
But it's worth it in the, I mean, for me, it was worth it in the end because I got it done when I was like, I think it was finished when I was, by the time I was like 14 or something.
I can't stop staring at your smooth upper lip now. It's like, because you don't even have any discoloration or anything.
No, well, there's no discoloration with electrolysis. With laser is where.
And you know what? I used a Groupon for laser too. So that's my bad.
Oh, you better believe it. I got a fucking Groupon for a hydrocolon therapy and it busted a cut into my butthole that I had to deal with the rest of my life. So do not go cheap on putting tubes in your butt.
You know, I got my LASIK, my eye surgery.
Groupon.
I can
was it good?
Yeah. I went to Addison, Illinois. And
wait, why did you do? Oh,
I used to live in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
And I got a Groupon for LASIK. And I was like, yeah, okay. And the offices downtown were like super nice. And they're like, and now you got to go to, I think it was Addison or one of those like far off suburbs. And we're in a waiting room and everyone had their little printed out Groupon. We all have our goggles on and our little printed Groupon.
Groupon in your hand, crossing your fingers with the other.
Yeah. And yeah, it was fine.
You can see.
I can see for the most part.
I mean, you haven't made eye contact with me once, but slightly to the left of me. I keep on trying to shift my head.
It's because I'm staring at your upper lip. I'm so jealous.
Okay. So your sister was like, how many siblings do you have?
I have one older sister.
One older sister. And she was like, what are you talking about? Everything's fine.
Because I think on the surface, it's like, I'm a very sociable person. I'm very outgoing. And so like, I can talk to like all. Like I can talk to anyone, you know.
Prove it.
Well, I have been this whole time. But like, yeah. And then, but when I really think about it, I'm like, oh my God, I was trying so hard all the time.
Yeah.
Like I'm like not athletic at all. I'm not a fast runner. I can't jump. Like I just can't.
Yeah.
But I played lacrosse for 6 years, just on the bench
like,
for
was
6 years.
Doing?
Yeah.
What was that full moon doing?
I know. I remember having like such bad anxiety. I would like. I was very smart, but I'd pretend that I needed extra help after school so I could like miss the running part of practice.
Oh.
So because I was always like the last one. Oh. And I was like, why did I do that? I obviously didn't like it, but I was like, everyone else is doing it. I have to do it.
Yeah. Just that looking back and really feeling how much you at that age, like need to feel a part of and fit in too. I don't know. My friend Christina actually just wrote me on WhatsApp yesterday being like, were we like, because I talk about identity a lot and she was like, were we like bad or like, could we have helped you? And it's like, no, your friends couldn't have done anything. All you needed really, I think a big part of it is like just seeing yourself reflected in society in a way that feels cool or that you can relate to. Like, I think that would have helped a lot. There's nothing that my friends could have done aside from being like, we're all gay and Pakistani.
Yeah. Here we are.
You know, like it's just about relating. Like,
Well, it's hard too, because it's like you're a kid still when you're a
thank
teenager.
Thank you so much for saying that. I'm actually 34 years old, but thank you so much.
Me too.
It's been so long since someone saw me for me.
No, but like, you know, like how those are such like mature thoughts, like things like identity.
Yeah.
That like I can't expect a teenager to like understand that and then reach out when like no one's even talking about those things.
Yes.
Which is why it's like I watched like Euphoria a couple months ago and I was like, oh my God, I cannot have a kid. And if I have a daughter, I would never let her out of the house. I can't believe teenagers go through this. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, I was like, but they can find someone like them with the internet, at least.
Yes.
like as bad as social media is, at least they can like go on and find a group or like follow an account of like someone that looks like them, that feels the same way they do. And that would be like a huge difference to someone who feels like isolated, who feels like no one's like them.
Goody, goody lesson in life. We all want to feel connected.
Lessons. Wow. So true. So
true.
Is that your voice on those?
You better believe it.
Oh my God.
Now for your daily reminder that I'm the star of a sitcom.
Carol Second Act, CBS, Thursdays at 9:30. You want to feel good or you want to feel great? Watch it. okay. On the next episode of The Goody Goody, which is this Thursday, which is also when Carol's second act airs at 9:30 on CBS. Please watch that as well. I'm asking for two things on Thursdays. Poonam says this.
When as Asians, we get to be assholes too. That's how we know we've really made it.
Sabrina says this. Hollywood, we challenge you to cast 13
Make me an
homeless
asshole.
Brown people. And this happens. If she gave her DNA to 23andMe, then they might trace it back to a body they found in cement that had her fingerprints, DNA. I don't... Check us out Thursday for all this and more, as well as Ursula. Goodbye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.